John and the 12 did not, and we're not part of the body of Christ. That's why it's important. Three, a true understanding of what the cross was all about, that the death, burial, and resurrection from the cross. That's not in, ask your friends, find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where salvation by the finished work of Christ is, where faith in the finished work of Christ dying on the cross, where Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Even find me that. And they can't, because it's not there. You can find wonderful things that Jesus did. You can walk, you can follow the story as he sets up the kingdom and all these different elements, but you cannot find that. You do not have the body of Christ. Without the body of Christ, we don't have salvation. It's all part of Paul. That's why we study it, okay? And then fourth, grace we stand in versus the works that were necessary to win favor with God. Show me anywhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that there was a grace given to these people. There was not. There were standards that were set up, and they needed to follow those standards. That's the way the program was. If I wanted to become saved or part of God, let's just call it that, connect to God, I had to become a proselyte. I had to become a Jew. There was a program I could do that if I wasn't born into it, and then I could benefit from that. But other than that, I had no chance. And even after I did that, I had to follow all the rituals and cover everything. The works were necessary to obtain any kind of relationship with God for eternity. None of that is taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you have the actual denominations out there talking about the stuff. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. Well, show me the way it's at in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He died on the cross. For what reason? The reasons were Paul. He was shown that mystery. You follow me? That's why it's important. That's why we spend time studying it. Okay, let's take a look at it as we continue on. First, let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can study this to understand it, to share it with others. Quiet our hearts and focus our minds as we dig into this and, again, see step by step some of these things we've seen many times, but help us to understand them so we can share them and give them out to the world. The world is terribly lost, and we have the answer. We ask you to give us these opportunities in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's take a look at the paper here. The change begins, I got right now. Let's see how this all came around. What happened after Acts 7 when the Jewish leaders stoned Stephen? Why didn't God pour out his wrath upon the earth at that time? If you go to Acts chapter 7, we're going to go there in a bit here. The answer to these questions can be found in Paul's epistles. Let's go to Mark chapter 3, verse 28 and 29. Let's go there first. And this is Jesus talking about forgiveness in a very specialized way. Mark chapter 3, verse 28 and 29 says, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the Son of Man, and the blasphemers, wherewith soever you shall be blasphemed. But he that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost," look at that, "hath not forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Is in danger. It's an important thing that's in there, okay? Because ultimately the mystery opened up, and it was a different program for mankind, okay? But what happened? What happened in Acts chapter 7? Let's go there a minute, and we'll see how this all begins to unfold.
You said, "Have not forgiven?"
No.
"But in my Bible,
hath never." Yeah. No problem. Never. You're right, and thank you. When I mumble through any of these verses, correct me. Slow down. Got it. This is supposed to be one week. It's not going to be. It'll be two. I can't do one week. I don't know why. I just can't get it all in an hour. Yeah. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 60. Now, this is what takes place. Stephen gets all these Jews together, and he says, "Let me explain to you who this Christ was." And they do not buy into it. In fact, they go out and kill him. Let's see what happens here. Acts chapter 7. Verses 51 through 60. This is how things began to open up. This is why Paul is important. This is why the dispensation of grace exists today. Let's take a look at how it begins. Starting with verse 51. And I will read it slowly. All right. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." By the way, in Isaiah, you can read that too. Okay? There's a whole passage on that. "Which of the prophets have not your fathers prosecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, and whom ye have now been betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation angels and have not kept it. Alright, the Jews have not been doing the job. When they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were pretty angry. Alright, this was a condemnation of Judaism. And they did not react favorably to it. Okay? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, we're talking about Stephen here, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the man, and the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Okay, keep going. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this to their sin, this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So Stephen gets killed when he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's pretty difficult, okay, to forgive this Holy Spirit thing if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what they did to Stephen here. It is at this point in history that Israel has been given opportunity. Jesus walks the earth and tries to set up the kingdom. We're going to get into some of that later. Where, what does he tell his disciples to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Was he setting up anything but a kingdom? No, that's what he was doing. And yet they rejected it. And at this point, they've killed Stephen after he points it out to them again that even your fathers did it, just like people before you. Nobody has kept the law. And they killed him. Pretty sad, but that's the reality, okay? Israel as a nation should have been punished at this point in God's wisdom. But he had a better eternal plan. The mystery hidden God and delivered by the Apostle Paul. This is where things begin to change. Paul was the guy in charge of that stoning. That's why they laid their coats at his feet, because he was in charge of it. He had the authority to do it. And he made sure it got played out. But now things are going to change. A new dispensation. This is when people say, all you do is talk about the dispensation of grace. Why don't you ever talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, those are great history. But they're not applicable to my life today. I don't apply things from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What would Jesus do? Well, he wouldn't even talk to me because I'm a Jew. That's what he would do. He wouldn't even talk to me. And there's nothing wrong with understanding that. It's radical to some people, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's truth. It's history. It's the way it went down. When Jesus walked the earth, he was setting up a kingdom. When they rejected that kingdom, then a new dispensation opens up. And that's where we live today. The modern church takes the salvation, Jesus died on your cross, etc., from the new dispensation, but then they mix it in with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What would Jesus do? Be like Jesus. Do this, do that. It's confusing. It's totally confusing. And I believe it leads a lot of people to not be saved. If I was going to be Satan, I would be doing exactly what's going on here. I wouldn't show up with a pitchfork, you know, and a ponytail, and a lot of fire, okay? I would show up like a minister, trying to mix all this stuff from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the kingdom age, into the dispensation, and mix it in a big bowl, and serve it back in any way I could control people. And that's what happens. Religion seeks to control you. Alright? Religion seeks to control you in one way or another. You've got to do this and this and this to win favor with God. You got to tithe. That's a big one. Let's get that money flowing. You've got to tithe to win favor with God. None of that matters. In the dispensation of grace that we live in today, none of that matters. Do we support a ministry? Absolutely. Are there wonderful things we do? Absolutely. But it's not to win favor with God as far as salvation goes. That was finished by Christ. We have to accept that. We have to accept what happened and rest in it. And when we do, we get the benefit of it. When we do, we get placed into the body of Christ. And where has that body been? On the cross. That's why I'm placed into the body of Christ. That's so radical for so many people. I looked on Facebook this week. There were tons of people with all sorts of verses from Matthew and John and blah, 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 blah. You know, and they're trying to figure out how to make this all work for them. And they're very frustrated. Yeah. Everybody in this room was there at some point. Very frustrated because I was young enough. I was saved, like I said, when I was 13. Introduced to grace and that knowledge at 15. But even between 13 and 15, 2 years of frustration, I kept seeking answers because I couldn't make all this stuff fit. I was a zealous individual trying to figure out a relationship with God, and I couldn't make it fit. I couldn't take the stuff they were teaching me in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and apply it to what Paul was teaching. Very, very frustrated. And then I was introduced to grace at age 15. Revolutionized me. I said, now this makes sense. This is the V8 I could have had. I only had 2 years of that frustration. Many of you had 20, 30 years. Long, long time of that. No joy in Mudville. No peace. You know, I've been lucky enough to be able to go to bed every night since I've been about 15. At peace, knowing, with the knowledge. I was saved at 13. I understand that, and I do believe I was saved. I understood enough to be saved, but I didn't understand enough to get out of the frustration. That's for sure. It took a couple years, and it took the right minister hearing the word, explaining it to us. Bingo. And when it made sense, I couldn't get enough of it. I ate it up. Give me all of Stan's books for Christmas. That's what I actually had. My parents bought me the entire library. I read them from one end to the other. Do I remember most of it now today? No, but I remember parts and principles. And some of it I agree with now, and some of it I've grown beyond. But the point is, finally it made sense. My spiritual existence with God has a purpose and a meaning and a focus, and it makes sense. I don't have to wrestle. Boy, that was good. And that's where we're at today. And that's what we get to enjoy. That's radical, folks. That's not what your friends or relatives deal with. That's unfortunately not what the real world deals with. Yeah, they deal with frustration. Yes, they do. They want to complicate it. Not because, well, understand this. They're not being evil. They just don't know. And when you ask them to think outside the box they were shown from the time they were 12 or whatever, or from seminary or whatever, they don't want to think outside that box. You're radical. You're crazy. And I go, well, show me why I'm crazy. Explain to me how to this and this. Well, it doesn't matter. I don't have to explain it. It's God's, you know.
Take it by faith.
Take it by faith. There we go. I like that. So by faith, they're confused. By faith, they're lost. By faith, they're miserable. And they don't have joy. There's no joy because when you have confusion, you do not have joy. You're constantly seeking an answer to figure out the confusion. There's an angst inside of your soul. Yeah, that angst inside of your soul will eat you up. It does. And then when you finally are saved and you understand it, bang. It does. It's beautiful. That's where we're at. That's where a lot of people are at. A lot of people watching this at home may be at the point. They need to understand that. That's why we study Paul. Because he's our apostle for today. Because everybody else is irrelevant in terms of our existence with God. There's history there, certainly. We can learn. I can learn from the Old Testament. I can learn from the early parts of the New Testament. But I cannot apply those marching orders for today. If I try to apply those orders or those thinking or that way of living for today, I'm going to fail. And I'm going to be hurting. I'm going to be confused. Very true. The new dispensation, I've got written down here. It is at this point in time, I've got to learn how to read, you know, it's difficult in my age. It is at this point in time, things begin to change in the world. God introduced a new dispensation, totally new, totally radical, the dispensation of grace. Under the former dispensation, God would certainly have dealt with man with anger at this point. However, in the new dispensation, God pours out his grace. A wonderful mystery, hid from the world, now it's time to reveal it. Why? Because everybody who was supposed to be part of God's program had rejected him. The Jews who were supposed to be a selected nation were gone. They were toast. And God said, okay, I've given you a chance. Did God not say to the Jews, I'm going to pull you out, and I'm going to give you a kingdom. I'm going to help. You're going to have greatness. Yes, in the Old Testament, he laid it all out. He gave them that opportunity. He had to give them that opportunity. He gave them that opportunity, and they failed. Now, there's an opportunity to share with the whole world. Now everybody could come to God because of what Christ had done, okay? God reveals a new message in the dispensation of grace. I've got the mystery. To Paul, the apostle, we are now living in the dispensation of grace. It has continued for about 2,000 years already. Can't be a better time in the world to exist. Now that being said, is salvation interesting and easy? And no, you have to give up your ego. You have to say, I am worthless. It is God's finished work, what Christ did on the cross, that allows me to be with God. Not anything I can do. Okay? Everything I do, God sees as filthy rags. Do I do good things for people? Yes. I try to be nice. I try to do things. We're ambassadors. But it has nothing to do with my salvation. My salvation only rests in what Christ did and my acceptance of it. Period. Plus nothing. I could be the best person in the world, give all the money away to everybody, build houses for everyone, do all sorts of wonderful things, but if I do not accept what God has done for me in Christ, I don't have a prayer of getting into heaven. But that's the joy of it, and that's the beauty of it. Because when you set your ego aside and you accept what God does, and it's not me anymore, yeah, and the joy of being that way, the joy of being perfect in God's sight, now becomes my motivation to go out in the world and do things the right way. Do I do everything perfect? Absolutely. Ask my wife. I fail maybe once or twice an hour, okay? The point is, a minute, thank you. Thanks for the clarification, sweetheart. Okay.
You're good company.
Yeah. The reality is this. I do nothing that's worthy of anything that God has to offer. I just give back what God has given to me. I'm at peace. I can give back to the world. Recently, we had a situation where we tried to help this lady with air conditioning unit she needed for her family. All the story we got, I bought her an air conditioning unit, and guess what? She tried to sell it back to the store to get the money. Sadly. Her was like, I told you so. Women know everything, you know that? But you know what? I am not going to change who I am because of that. Because it is only those rare moments when people are like that. It's not the way it always is. But, yeah, there we go. The reality is we're in the dispensation of grace. Now, let's take a look here. Many Christians do not realize the word dispensation is a word used in the Bible. It just, excuse me, what does that big word mean? The word is to dispense, which means to deal out or distribute or to administer. A dispensation, okay? Therefore, dispensation is the distribution or an administration of God's program for today. And who do we get that from? Matthew, right? No, maybe Luke. No, I don't get it. No.
John,
there we go. No. None of the above. We get it from Paul. Okay? To understand the dispensation of the grace of God, we have to get it from the Pauline epistle, from Romans to Philemon. That's where you're going to find it. That's where it's going to be talked about. That's where it's going to be explained. That's where examples are going to take place. All the information we need to grasp it is in there. So if you never study those, other than that Paul's a great missionary, and he did a lot of good stuff, which is what the modern church does, you lose out on all of it. Yet they'll take salvation by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Jesus died for your sins. They'll take that part of it, but they won't take the rest of it. And they'll take that part of it and try to put it over here. Oh, wait a minute. Tell me where in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He died on the cross because they killed him when he was trying to set up the kingdom. It had nothing to do with my sins at that point. Paul explains that later. That's so radical. Yet that's where the church is today. That's why our mission field is the next door neighbor, down the street, the people we work with. Because they really are living in misery.
Dave, yes.
No, I don't see that. No. It could be. And people might have that thinking about it. I don't see it that way. It was a supper. They all got together afterwards and they talked about what had happened. Okay? What did Peter say in the beginning of Acts? Repent and be baptized. The times of refreshing will come by the presence of the Lord. They were still going after the kingdom. Those 12 were still like, man, the kingdom. We need to have this kingdom. Right. And it isn't until Paul shows up, and then they meet in Galatians. We see about where they meet, and they give him the right hand of fellowship because he had some radical stuff going on that they never heard before. Can you imagine how radical it was for him to come to the 12 and say, no, the cross meant this. Da-da-da-da-da-da. They were like, yeah, that's right. That's right. It was difficult. Peter talks about it is difficult to understand Paul at times. Because it was. Transition was happening. Remember, transition did not happen like on Friday night they closed it out and Monday morning it was all changed. It transitioned. Paul got more now. Just like you transition in your knowledge. You learn a little bit. You learn some more. It's no different. Paul was given it in pieces. He was given, obviously, all of it eventually. And sometimes he was given it, and he couldn't even give it to the people at that time because they couldn't handle it yet. It was pretty radical stuff. But yet, it is the truth, and it's what sets you free. It's the peace and the joy that we have, okay? Okay, in times past, God distributed law to the nation of Israel. In the dispensation of grace, God is distributing grace to all nations to make Israel jealous. Read about it in Romans. Is to provoke them to jealousy, for them to see. What is that what happens with the Jews today? No. talk to a Jewish rabbi. I'm glad you believe that Jesus, he was a good teacher. That's all. And they kicked it all to the curb. Okay? They rarely accept it as being anything more than a teacher. And boy, Satan's going, right on. Let's keep this going. Let's keep this marching. It's the way it should be. I'm going to sneeze in a second here. It's coming up. Don't be mean. All right, we'll see what happens. Anyway, God is distributing grace to all nations now. That's anybody hearing this. Everybody in this room. Anybody that might hear this in the future. Anybody that might get your piece of paper from you that you might share with them. We all have the opportunity to connect to God through the finished work of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection for our justification. Understand that. That death had to take place. What is that death? That's what's paying for my sins. He was buried. He was resurrected again. That's reliving like we are when we are relived in Christ. A new creation. A new creature. All that had to happen. And if you accept that and go, yes, I get it, and I believe it, and I accept it, it's a done deal. You're all set. You're all set for eternity, and you now have peace. And you'll see that. For those of you who've experienced the salvation experience, when you finally get it, you go, wow. It's so beautiful. It's amazingly beautiful. Yep. I mean, it was a long time ago for me. I am 26 now, and it was 13, so. Yeah. But it was real. It was real when it happened to me on Halloween night, by the way. 1971, 2, whatever it was. I have to go back and look it up. I don't remember how old I am now. Anyway. And it changed my life. I sought spirituality at that point. I wanted to know more. I was hungry. I was digging in. I was going for broke. And it was confusing as all get out. And then I heard the grace message, understanding dispensational theology and how it all fits together. And nothing else fits together, folks. You can't take any of these other teachings and make all this work together. It doesn't. From the Old Testament all the way through the end of the New Testament, when you understand dispensational theology and the mystery we're parked right in the middle here right now, it all fits together. You don't have to compromise a verse. How many times do they say, let's read these three verses for the service today? And they read three verses, and then the preacher goes, let me tell you what that means. And he goes into a 20-minute declaration of what it means and what it shouldn't mean and what you need to do and how you need to be good. And then let's have a call at the end of the service, an altar call, whatever. You don't learn anything in most denominations. They don't encourage you to dig in and teach. They don't sit here and talk about this so that you can grasp it. They just give you three or four verses and then they talk about it. I can say anything about three or four verses, you know, if I want to fill 20 minutes. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's what happens. And the people don't know anything else. And the ministers don't know anything else. And when you try to share that with them, something different, do it graciously. You can't go in and go, you're an idiot. Let me show you something. Not going to work. You're not going to get anywhere. But we've all done that. We've all gone and said, yeah. Exactly. I've only been tossed from two churches over the years, if I remember now. Anyway. But the reality is, you go in and you say, have you ever thought of this? Do you know what this means? Let me share with you some stuff. And you might get an opening. You may not. You may just intrigue them, and later on they'll get an opening. Tell me more about that. I want to know more about that. I've been working, I've told you guys before, I've been working with the Bush Hog Company. They make the cutters and the side of the road. Since the 90s. It wasn't until the last couple of years when they had me pray, because they do a lot of prayer. It's a very spiritual company. Are they lost? Yeah, most of them. Okay, but it's a spiritual company. They had me pray at the trade shows. Before every trade show opens every day, they pray. And when I talked about, you know, reaching others for Christ and sharing the love of Christ, because they always prayed about, make sure nobody trips and bangs their head and hurts, you know, gets hurt on the equipment. It was different for them. I had a chance to open up and talk to people. Because I wasn't focusing on those principles. I was focusing on people's salvation, sharing the love of Christ, helping them to understand how they too could be part of it. You know? When you have the different philosophy, when you understand things and you share the world differently, people will notice. And those opportunities will happen. People will ask questions. Have a simple answer. Have one of those little tracts that I put out during the thing. Put that in your Bible. You know, those are great because you can go there and show people stuff. But you can keep it in your head. You know, Scott's got an amazing head. Okay, he's just full. It's like, it's coming out. Okay, his ears are bleeding information. Okay, I don't have one of those heads. Yeah, well, you know, I'm lucky if I can remember my name. I'm lucky if I can find out where my pants are. And that's why I wear my pants. None of it works for me, okay? Yep. All right, so let's continue on with the page here. God ruled with an administration of law in times past. God is now ruling with administration of grace. This is the meaning and the term dispensation of grace of God is all about. It is a wonderful privilege to live in the dispensation of grace. Is it not? Oh, man. The present dispensation is much different from the previous dispensations. Let's look at Romans chapter 11, verse 13. I think I've actually put it on your sheet. It should be in there. Paul writes, "For I speak to you Gentiles insomuch that I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office." Who can say that? Does Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John say that? Does anyone else say that? No. It's Paul. He says, hey, I'm your apostle. That's why we study him. Because he's our apostle in the dispensation of grace. That's so important to understand. And that's why we study him. So when people go, man, you spend all your time in Romans through Philemon or whatever. Yes, because that's where my apostle taught me. That's where he shared with me the dispensation of grace. I don't learn it anywhere else. I can't go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like everybody else does on Sunday mornings. And 99% of all the churches out here are doing verses from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and then talking for 20 minutes. I can't do that because it's not going to get me anywhere. It's not the truth. It's not the knowledge, okay? No one else in the Bible claims to be an apostle from the Gentiles. Paul was given a special message, a mystery, that is for the whole world, totally different message than Jesus brought. Totally different. You can't combine them. Jesus never said, I want you to believe on my sacrifice on the cross for your salvation, for your sins, and my burial resurrection. No, he didn't do any of that. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, I go not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't go to Gentiles. Didn't go to any of us. Wouldn't care about us. You know, people go, well, what would Jesus do? He wouldn't talk to me. Let's take a look at the differences and why we were sent. Okay, let's take a look here. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. I just said that, but let's take a look at the verse so you can see it. As Pastor said, but let's look at the verse. I guess I didn't have to sneeze after all. Matthew 15, 24. In fact, we can go back. Well, let's just go there. But he answered and said, I am not sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was not sent to the Gentiles back then. When they came to him and said, Master, Master, he'd say, get away from me. I am not but to the lost sheep, the house of Israel. That's who Jesus came for, because God had prophesied it. They deserved that prophecy to be fulfilled, and God was fulfilling it. He was finishing it off, and that's what he was doing, okay? Jesus Christ came to minister the circumcision and set up the kingdom. Let's go to Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Remember, this is so radical to most people. That's why we study it. That's why we have it here, so you can give it away. Romans 15:8. Now I say that Jesus was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Father. Yeah. What's that? Not the Gentiles. Not the Gentiles, no. We were SOL, as they say. We were on the outside. No, he's talking in general what Jesus did, okay? All right? And then look at this. This is one of my favorite. People do this all the time. The Catholic Church prays this prayer all the time. Matthew, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We're just going to read two verses, okay? Matthew chapter 6. This is what Jesus told the disciples. They call it the disciples' prayer. Is that correct? Lord's prayer, disciples' prayer. Verses 9 and 10 say, after this manner thereby pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy grace open up to the world? No, I don't think so. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When I read that to somebody and say, this is what he was presenting, they go, I never thought of that. Because they never read those verses. They read them a lot, but they never dissected those verses to understand them. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All right? If Jesus had not been killed in Jerusalem, he would have set up a kingdom. And Dave's Pizza Parlor would be here on earth. Okay? If I became a proselyte, and therefore a Jew. I just couldn't get in there otherwise. They wouldn't show up. The point is this, folks. There was a different message. And I've got 3 hours to go. Good. There was a different message. And it was not the message that the most people are told today. All right? Paul is a very different in both his message and who it is for. Let's look at Romans chapter 15 and 16. Wow, this is going to take like 4 weeks to get through it, it looks like. All right. Romans 15 through 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written it the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that was given to me of God, given to Paul. He got the message. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. What happens when the Holy Ghost enters our body? We are placed where? Into the body of Christ. That's right. That's how we're saved. That body went up on the cross and got killed for my sins. When I accept that, the Holy Ghost places me into the body of Christ, and bingo, I stand perfect before God. Absolutely as perfect as God, because I am in the body of Christ, which is as perfect as God, because it is God. Wow, what does that do for me when I understand that? It means I don't have to perform to win favor with God in any size, shape, or form. I do not have to do this or do that or do this or have this kind of attitude or any of those things that we used to wrestle with when we didn't understand it. Instead, I can take the joy of being in the body of Christ and I can now give that back to the world. It's such a motivator. It's such a motivator when everything's been given to you. There's nothing more you can get. You're like, wow, this is unbelievable. I want to give it back. I want to do things out of the right motivation. I believe that's what they talked about when your works are going to be, if you were at the conference, your works are going to be tested. It's not about volume, because some people can do volumes more work than somebody else. It's not a volume issue. It's a motivational issue. Are you doing things from the right motivation? Those are going to stand. You're doing them for the right reasons for Christ. Those are going to stand right, the right part in your heart. All right? That's what we do now. We're ambassadors, and we give back to the world the love of Christ as much as often, I get the word right, as possible. And you never get angry at those people in the fast food lines again. That's right. I would never do that, right, Irma? Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Or restaurant, yeah. I am so patient, especially when I come in and there's 10 tables in front of me. I should go to the front of the line. That's it. Yeah, the reality is this. We're going to get irritated. We're still alive. We're still in our bodies. But our overall focus should be in reflecting the love of Christ. And if I offend somebody, and I know it, I need to go up and say, I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't know it, and sometimes I don't want to do that. But I still...
Don't make me angry,
Dave. It's all right. Anyway, I'll be pushing you. Let's go.
Anybody wants to make you angry.
And I do appreciate that, Ricky. Okay. But let's take a closer look, and we'll study a little bit of this, and we'll pick it up again next week, okay? The mystery. It's important to understand the Bible with... It is impossible, rather, to understand the Bible without understanding the mystery. All right? The word mystery in the Bible does not mean mysterious or strange. The mystery is the message previously hidden and is now made known. That's the mystery that was given to Paul. That message, by the way, is our salvation. It was previously hidden. The whole world was all about the Jew because they were the chosen people. But now it's different. Let's look at Romans chapter 16, verse 25. And I think we'll stop there. Yeah. Okay. Romans 16, 25. We doing okay, church, back there? I got two different clocks here going. I can't figure out anything. 5 minutes. Okay, thanks. I'm never big on time anyway. What time? What clock? I can't see anything. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Listen to this very carefully. Now, to him that is of power to establish you. Wow. Establish you according to my gospel. What is establishing you? First of all, it's salvation. Establish you in salvation. And then there's knowledge after that. Okay? But to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Well, that mystery is the salvation we have in Christ. Is that mystery for everyone? What? Forgive, what do you want to call it? Yes. Oh, you want me to do the little... The mystery was that we could be with God through the finished work of Christ. The acceptance of the finished work of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for our justification. That combination was not a mix available. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, none of the 12 talk about that ever. Yes, he did. And that's why you get the benefit from it. It's a good deal. It's a good deal and a good deal more. Okay? It is a wonderful thing that we have now in the dispensation of grace. And that's why we study it. That's why we try to share it. Because it's not about performance. It's about acceptance. And when you accept it, you get it. That's hard because man's ego gets in the way. I can't accept that because I'm not that bad. How many people have, in their minds, have said those things? Or look what I've been doing. I have relatives, sadly enough, I have relatives who spent their entire lives giving to the Waterfront Rescue Ministry in Chicago and this and that. They did all sorts of works. I'm hoping, because I did talk to her numbers of times before she died, that she was saved by faith in the finished work of Christ, not just her performance. Because she was very adamant about doing and doing and doing and doing and doing. Okay? It's just the reality of it. You know, it's unfortunate. Man's ego gets in the way of being saved. I am not that bad. I don't need that. I can do this instead. I can do whatever. And you know what? Religion plays off that ego. Yes, you're part of our church, and we give out fluffy towels when it comes to, baptism. Yes, fluffy towels. And you gave your 10%. God's gonna honor that 10% and give you more. Right, you're going to get the money back and more.
Tenfold.
Wow, I got to get busy. Yeah, that's why I'm so proud. All right. Yeah. Sadly, religion is based on man's ego. I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to please God through my efforts and my works. True spirituality says, it's done for me already. It's done for me already. I now do anything positive because of what I've already been given, not what I'm going to get. You know, we can be blessed many different ways, but I'm not working for a blessing. I'm not doing something so that God can bless me. Boy, I did before I understood it. You know, I was driving my car at 15, 16. It was a beautiful car. No, it was a piece of crap. And I was sure that it was going to be breaking on me. I really did. It's a funny story, but I used to think all the time, my focus on young ladies in my mind was going to make my car blow up. You know, somehow I connected those things together, and God was going to punish me because those young girls looked so on me. I was 15. What do you want? 16. It was terrible. My car's going to blow up. And I told that to a minister friend of mine who is a minister in grace, and that's where I learned grace from. I told him that story. He's used it for 40 years in his messages because he thought it was funny. Well, it wasn't funny for me at 15. I was quite sure my crap of car was going to go down. I was going to be out. totally confused, okay? Totally misfocused. You're in the wrong place, okay? That's it. Let's go back to this last paragraph, and then I'll put a big star here so we can pick it up. No one in the Old Testament knew about the mystery. Nobody. Nobody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John knew about the mystery. So why do we spend our time studying that if that has nothing to do with our lives today? Why are we focused in that area? Because people have gotten it wrong and they keep passing it down generation to generation to generation. I don't believe dispensational theology really started to get a focus until the mid-1800s, I believe. I got to do a study on that to find out who Spurgeon was one of the first, I think. I don't know, maybe you got some ideas on that. I don't know.
We'll talk about it next
service. Oh, see? There we go. We'll get the answer. That's great. Neither did the 12 apostles during Christ's ministry on earth. No one knew the mystery until it was revealed to Paul, because it had been kept secret since the world began. You get to enjoy it today. If you don't think you're in a special place in a special time, somebody needs to smack you upside the head. Okay? Yeah, there we go. We are blessed. We have the knowledge, we have the Bible, we have an understanding of dispensational theology, we have it broken out for us, so we know where to go today. We are hugely blessed, and we need to appreciate that, and then we need to give it away. Okay, simple as that. Let's close with a word of prayer for this week. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can study this and understand and be motivated by it, but we can help us to realize how radical it is compared to what other people are dealing with, how modern religions have totally messed it up, and the people are living in angst and confusion and sadness because of it, and many of them are lost for eternity. Help us to have the grace to explain grace in a positive way, in a way that makes sense for people, so they can grasp it, begin to apply it, or get intrigued by it, so they'll ask more questions, so that we can share the love of Christ with those. And they too can reach a salvation message, understand, and accept the finished work for their salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's difficult for a lot of people, but once you get there, it's such a beautiful blessing. We hope that you give us that opportunity this week in some way, in some fashion, in your name. Amen.
Let's take a break.